This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
My next guest is the international guest for Hamilton Book Month. It's Charlotte Glennie. She's an accomplished journalist with more than two decades of broadcast and media experience, half of that spent working in Asia. She's worked with media organisations like the BBC, with ABC and TVNZ, and won several prominent awards for her journalism, which included covering disasters and war reporting. Her memoir, Every Second Counts, has been described as a story of deadlines, daring, danger, and what happens when you fall. We're delighted to welcome her to the Free Breakfast. No mai, haere mai, Charlotte.
Oh, morena, Kate. Great to be with you.
Oh, well, thanks so much for making the time. You're going to be appearing tonight at the Hamilton Book Month event, Telling Our Own and Others' Stories, and you're going to be appearing alongside Mike McRoberts to talk about your careers and your memoirs. So it's lovely to find out a little bit about it ahead of that. Why, Charlotte, do you think was the right time for you to write your memoir now?
It's something I had thought about doing. Well, I've been approached to do it over the years, from as early as about 2010 and then again in 2018, and it was never the right time. And I think that's really good advice for anyone ever thinking about writing a book, because it is such a massive undertaking and the timing really has to be right, and there are so many things that go on in our lives all the time. Of course, and I've always been busy with work and raising young children and things like that. And then suddenly during COVID, I think I had one of those, great COVID resets, and I was working full time. And I just had to stop and do something different. And I started writing. I did a couple of creative writing courses. I didn't set out to write this book. I set out to write another one entirely. But then somehow I started writing this as one of the exercises in one of the courses, and 3 years later I had a memoir.
Isn't that incredible? Did it sort of come reasonably easily once you got underway with it, looking back and capturing, I guess, the moments over time through your life?
Yes, I mean, I'd lived it all, and I was still living it because the book goes right up until the current day, but I had lived it all in the last, 30 years. So it's hard to remember some things, of course, but I had many resources. I had all the old stories, all the old TV stories, a lot of those that I had covered. I had lots of photos. I'm a little bit of a hoarder, so I don't delete a lot of old emails I haven't deleted, old letters I've kept. So I had a lot of resources. Some days the writing flows more freely than others, but I think it did flow. And it flowed, but it still took 3 years. You know, yeah. There was a lot to decide what to put in, what to put out, all that. But it was overall a really rewarding experience, and nothing better than now having it out in the world and talking about it with readers. That's just the best part of it.
Oh, look, it's obviously, every writer says it's a process, don't they? You know, they talk about that, the length of time that it takes. And when you're thinking about prioritising what to include and not, given that rich variety of experience that you've had to draw on, how did you prioritise what to include? And maybe supplementary question, were there things that you couldn't include for different reasons?
Well, I had to decide, I wanted to tell the story. I wanted to tell the story of other people's stories, and our event tonight at the Hamilton Library is about telling our story and other people's stories. And the reason I wanted to write the book was not at all to talk about myself. I actually don't like talking about myself, and there are things in here that I've written about that I've never talked about myself. But there were so many people I met along the way as a journalist, as you do, their courage and their persistence and their generosity and perseverance when terrible things happen in their lives. News is often you turn up in people's lives at impossible times for them. And I was just so moved by how they coped in these circumstances. And news moves so fast, and it moves even faster now with the deadlines and social media and everything that we have. And I just wanted to capture on the record some of these people's experiences who had most moved me. And the stories that I did end up including and the events were the ones that had the greatest impact on me, and a lot of them that are still unfolding today. And a lot of the reporting I did was in China, and people that I was able to talk to and interview in China back in the 2000s are not able to be interviewed freely now. I was in the Tibetan regions, the Xinjiang, the Uyghur region of China. I interviewed parents who had lost, whose children had been killed in Tiananmen, the crackdown in 1989. And these people don't have voices now. So I wanted to put that on the record as well. And I focused only on, it's a memoir of adulthood, because there was already more than enough in there. So I didn't go into my early years.
Yeah, so, well, but I mean, I think that's quite, that's a considered decision. As you say, you've wanted to focus on the stories that you've told, and you've captured those, and I think people would be interested in that. I mean, in terms of, what's your gut feeling about what people are most interested in when they find out about your life as a, I guess, a foreign correspondent? You know, what do people ask? What are they most interested in, do you think?
Well, people are actually quite surprised by what's in there. There is a lot, and I really wanted to capture the pace of news, really, and so the book moves really fast, because the life of a foreign correspondent is very adrenaline filled. You're going from news event to news event to news event, and so people they have been moved by so many different aspects of it. I mean, there's one mother in particular who's 17-year-old son was killed on that night of 3-4 June 1989, and she'd been campaigning for justice for years. People have told me that particular story has brought tears to their eyes. Some people have cried during the chapter on Tibet, when I travelled to the Tibetan regions. And there's also been a bit of interest. Actually, the other aspect of it is that because I had spent so much of my career asking other people to talk about their lives, I wanted to be upfront and honest if I was going to write a book about talking about my own life. And people have enjoyed how I've interwoven the personal with the professional, because I've been quite revealing about my personal life as well, much to my discomfort. But people have really, I think they've found that quite honest. And I mean, I was completely honest, yeah, in there, and I talk about the challenges facing a woman in her 30s who's single and wanting to have children and not knowing, you know, if that's ever going to happen. And so I've written about that all the way through as well, and now just in my, 50, just turned 54, and so I've written about, you know, when we all go through these progressions, don't we, in our lives, and I've written about now as well, and when life changes, we all have changes, and your children get older and you face perimenopause and all that. So I've interwoven that too. So there's quite a lot in there. And also, I had a very dramatic accident near the start of my journalism career, and that was something that I always pretended hadn't impacted me. I mean, obviously, I had a lot of broken bones from that, but I pretended, as once I was looked physically better, that it was well and truly behind me. But there were, that continued to impact me for years, and I've written about that as well. Because, wow, I finally realised there was no need to hide it.
Yeah, wow, that's so cool, Charlotte, that, you know, you went back and really put those events into a context that and made sense of them, you know. And, so I'm sure people enjoyed those revelations. I mean, do you think, I guess, is that essential in a memoir, to have some of that connection behind that public persona that, of course, journalists have, you know, because you're on the television and you're doing things? I think people probably really haven't, as you say, enjoyed those glimpses into you.
Yeah, we all face the same. We all face the same issues in our lives, don't we? And our circumstances are different, but so much is the same as well. And that's something you learn as a foreign correspondent, or as a journalist, or, you know, when you get to meet so many different people. But the other thing is that there are markers that many people remember over the course of, I mean, the news events sort of starting around 2000. So another huge one was the Indian Ocean tsunami that I covered, and I dedicate a long chapter to that because that was the most confronting story that I had ever covered. And and a lot of people are remembering where they were when that happened and how they heard the news. And
that was just devastating, wasn't it?
It's been great sharing that as well.
Oh, it's wonderful. Have you got any memoirs that you've read that you've enjoyed lately?
Well, I've just read Mike McRoberts' two memoirs because we're appearing tonight. So Speaking My Language, that book came out last year. It's a wonderful book about Mike learning to speak Tadeo and discovering his everything about his Māori whakapapa, and that's a brilliant book. But I also read his book from when he was he went to a lot of war zones and hotspots. And he put out a book called Beyond the Frontline in 2011, so I've read that. I'm also reading, but I had to put it down to read Mike's book, Arundhati Roy's memoir, Mother Mary Comes to Me. And I reluctantly put it down because it's wonderful. I'm about halfway through. And she wrote one of my favourite books, God of Small Things.
Oh, she's a gorgeous writer.
The 90s.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites too. It's a gorgeous book, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, it's a beautiful book, isn't it? I read Grand, the Mirror Book, Barbara Elsa, Grand by Noel McCarthy, the Mirror Book, Charlotte Grimshaw, Laughing in the Dark by Barbara Elsa. I love New Zealand memoir, international memoir. The other one I love is Claire Tomalin, A Life of My Own. She's one of Britain's most prolific biographers of other people's lives, but she's also written a memoir about herself. That's a wonderful book.
Yeah, there's some great ones on that list. And
shortage of things to read.
No, that's right. I'm going to look out the Arundhati Roy, aren't they? So people were lucky enough to get in for your workshop as well. So as well as the event tonight, there's a workshop tomorrow that you're doing called The Agile Storyteller, and that's going to be a bit of a masterclass in adapting voice and structure. Can you just tell us a little bit about some of the platforms you write on? We've just got about a minute. So, yeah, if you give us a few of the platforms that you write on and so people can find your work.
So memoir has taken most of my time in the last 3 years. I write articles. I went to China at the beginning of this year, wrote an article about that for the Herald. I'm considering doing a Substack. I'm signed up and I put the odd note on there, but we're going to talk about Substack because I'm a voracious reader, consumer of other people's Substacks and podcasts, and it's very like working in, podcasts is like working in radio. There are similarities there. So I'm going to talk about podcasting, Substacks, memoir writing, long form feature writing, and a little bit about radio and TV. But that's probably the area that people are least interested in, from what I've heard. The workshop's full, which is fantastic.
It is, yeah.
But the skills from there are adaptable across all forms of storytelling. In the end, it's always about people and sharing stories about people, and that's what connects us and, is all about our shared humanity, and learning about that is so great in all forms of storytelling.
Well, you've done a great job as a journalist telling those stories and bringing things to light and connecting with people. So it'll be a great privilege for people to see you and Mike in conversation this evening. That's going to be at the Telling Our Own and Others Stories. It's at the Hamilton City Libraries at 6:30. It's another amazing free event from Hamilton Book Month. And for those of you, the 30, who are lucky enough to be in Charlotte's workshop in the morning, that's over at Trust Waikato. Ngā mihi nui. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for joining us, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you tonight at the event.
I look forward to meeting you. Thanks so much, Kate.
Thank you.
Great chat.
Lovely. Thanks Bye-bye. Very much.
Thanks.
It's Charlotte Glennie there, who will be appearing tonight with Mike McRoberts.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.